Anna is here. Anna Krychek. Satiana. Hello, Satiana. If you say hello into that microphone, we'll see if you're on the air.
Hello, Jason.
I don't know if you are on the air. Wait a minute. What mic are you on? One, two, mic number three. Yeah, you need to get closer to it. That's
hello,
all.
Hello.
There
can you hear
go.
Me?
Perfect. Now we can hear you. All right. Satiana is here. Most people don't get over the heartbreaking loss of a child very quickly. You picked up the pieces and used your feelings and the way you were, what had happened to you, in a positive way, didn't you?
I try. I feel inspired by Christopher, actually. I feel really grateful, but I still have a connection with him, even though he's on the other side. And he really guides and inspired me. And about 6 months after he passed, he pretty much downloaded a book for me to write and inspired me to bring to the world. So,
how did he die?
He had an inoperable brain tumor. He was diagnosed with 6 months to live, and we couldn't operate. There was nothing we could do in the Western medical, so we tried many different healing methods, and he wasn't meant to stay.
Right.
And it's the message.
How old was he when he died?
He was almost four.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Precious little boy. But you went on to do... So you say that Christopher downloaded... It's a nice way of putting it, actually. The ideas came to you after that.
Yeah,
inspired.
Really what happened is because I telepathically still connect with him, he had kind of told me he would help me write a book. And on Thanksgiving night, 6 months after he passed, I sat at my computer going, well, if he's going to help me write a book, I better write some ideas down of what I'm going to write. And literally 2.5 hours later, the book was written. It was 108 questions to consider asking each other for couples before they have a child, before they even conceive, to make sure that they're in harmony on their parenting views.
So crucial.
Hmm.
Are there many books out about that?
Not really. There are many books on conscious parenting, but they usually begin at conception, like when the baby's in the womb, or even calling forth the spirit. But there's not much about consciously coming into harmony about your parenting views before conceiving.
No, and you would think, I mean, even on a very less than spiritual, entirely practical level, you ought to do a little bit of talking.
Yes.
There's a lot of hysteria, and that's almost exactly the right word to use.
Yes.
Before conception, people want to have a child.
Right. They think, oh, this cute little baby.
They're so desperate for it, especially women.
So wonderful. Yeah, it's a time clock with women. We have like this, yes.
Yeah. And it's very powerful.
Very.
It's not to be, I don't take it lightly. I don't mean to say that it's something which isn't real. It's very real for women. And very powerful. And I guess men can get... People get caught up in the whole idea of it. And they don't ask the practical questions.
Yeah, so this book, you know, I gave it to many of my friends as a gift. And 108 agreements felt really overwhelming, even to conscious people. So I'm actually rewriting this book into the 12 top parenting deal breakers, and that really covers the main things that will like tear away a couple if they don't agree on those, like things like vaccination, circumcision, religion, lifestyle, work and finances, discipline.
This is for after, when the child's born.
No, yes, you make the decision before you have the child. So that, see, the way I look at it, it's more important to find the right person to parent with than it is to find a spouse, because people get divorced all the time.
Right.
But you're going to continue parenting this child together.
Right.
So if you can agree on these main topics, even if you separate it, your child won't suffer as much from the fighting.
Is this quite a revolutionary idea?
Hmm.
I mean, it seems simple, but it sounds really great.
Thank you.
Now, 108 agreements is difficult. That's a lot of things to agree on.
Yeah.
Having said that, you're having a kid.
Yes.
I mean, you may want to, you know, 1,000 wouldn't be too, I don't know.
Totally. It's like you need a driver license to drive a car.
Right.
You need even a license to get a dog or to get married. And nothing is required to have a child.
To have a child, no, that's true. It's just a freedom that we just take for granted.
Yes.
Okay, so that was the first book. And it, It's, you know, the ABC of conscious parenting. ABC is agreements before conceiving. It couldn't be simpler. You've surprised me, Satyana, because I thought you were going to come in here with a whole spiritual thing, which I wouldn't understand. But this is very simple and clearly obvious. I mean, it's almost like a, what do you call this, a prenuptial agreement.
Right.
It's almost like that, but it's more serious than that because a life is at risk here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
No, very good. Excellent stuff. So you wrote that book. When did you write that book?
That was, like I said, 6 months after Christopher passed. The 108 questions were there. Then it took me a couple of years to weave our personal journey in the book. And now again, this book is being rewritten. So this book is still a work in progress. But my dream about that work is to be able to take people on a pre-honeymoon. Like instead of going for honeymoon, it's a baby moon. And it's where for a week they just delve deeply into all of these questions.
Do you know they do a thing at the high school? Somebody was telling me about this. I mean, you need to play a record, but they do a thing at the high school where they give a kid like a robot baby. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have. Yes.
It's not a bad idea for people, is it?
No, it's not.
I mean, it gives you an idea of how relentless, you know, parenting, and I hate that word as a verb, but it's kind of, it is what it says it is, you know, the act of being a parent. It would give people some sort of clue, like, do it for a month.
Yeah, it's a good idea because, you know, nobody really talks about, because they say, oh, when you have a baby, everything is natural and it's normal and it should be easy. But when you get this little thing in your hand and you're like, oh my gosh, the head is moving backwards. It's like, it's so fragile and nobody talks about how scary it is when you're holding that little being for the first few days and then you go home and there's nobody there. You know, I didn't have family around, so... Right. For us, it was, you know, when you have a mom and a grandma and a community, it's a lot easier. Right. But if you're on your own, oh my gosh.
It's scary. It can be scary and it can be depressing for some people.
Yes.
It can be irritating. It can be boring.
You don't get to sleep.
No, right. It's complete sleep deprivation and a screaming kid and you've no idea what, then its head rolls to one side, no idea what it means. I mean, the idea of it, frankly, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm scared now and I'm not even having a kid. All right, here's Nina Simone on KX 93.5. Satyana is here. It's a good conversation. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, that's not it. That wasn't good. That's I don't know what's wrong with that track. Here, look, let's do this one. Bum, bum, bum. There we go. Perfect. The Supremes on KX 93.5.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the Supremes on KX93.5 Laguna Zone FM. Made a bit of a mess of that. I was hoping for My Baby Just Cares For Me by Nina Simone. That would have been a good little segue, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But the file's corrupt. Let's get rid of it. Oh, well. Tatiana is here to talk about her new book, really, ostensibly. What's the new book about?
So the new book is an unschooling model with a twist. And I say it with a twist because unschooling is really about getting children out of the public education system and trusting them to unfold naturally like a flower does. You know, flowers are born to bloom and so are our children. And so it's based on that philosophy and letting them discover the world on their own and find their passions and their gifts and feeding them what they're interested in. Now, I say with a twist because I'm a Montessori teacher, and Maria Montessori is one of my great mentor, and I believe that before the age of six, children are like little sponges and they absorb everything in their environment. So the model from two to six is more of a combination between Montessori and Waldorf and Reggio. And
who's Waldorf? I don't know about that. Did he make a salad?
Waldorf is
the salad guy.
It's Rudolf Steiner.
Okay.
He's from Germany and he created a private educational system that's very spiritual based and very holistic, a lot of rhythm and natural elements like wool and wood and no plastic, no TV, like very strong about his views on how to break. And what I discover is that working in a Waldorf inspiring school here in Laguna, Annalise School for 7 years, and being a Montessori teacher, I realized that not all the children were either one or the other, and that if I provided an environment that was rich in all, the children went back and forth between them. And so the IWE model is based on a combination of Montessori, Waldorf, Reggio, very beautiful environment, very rich environment, indigenous cultures, drumming, yoga, like. And then the children...
And physically beautiful as well? How does that work in yes. like inner city schools? It was difficult, isn't it?
Well, you bring materials. You can, you know, what I do is I bring like pretty soft material like silk or velvet or it could be cotton. And you make beautiful curtains, kind of, you hang them and then you hide all the shelves where all the work is.
Wall hangings work.
Yeah, when they walk into the room, it's like this beautiful display of colors and space.
Right.
And then when it's work time, you pull the curtains and they go and choose their work and work. You know, it's also working in circles rather than working in rows, you know, tables behind each other.
Yeah.
So creating circles, community where we can talk and pass a talking stick for the children. So everybody's listened to and everybody can speak.
Talking to them. So when the kid's got the stick, he can talk.
Yes. Like, and everybody listens, right?
Sounds like the conch in the book there. What was that book about? What's that book called? Oh, it's such a famous book. Never mind. Anyway, the kids take over the island.
Oh.
They've got a con. In the end, they all go crazy. It's not the same as your thing.
Okay. So, yeah. And then also a lot of nature. If you are able to, you know, grow your own food and teach the children the cycles of life
right.
that way. And recycling and honoring the environment and service. And
It sounds a bit like, you know, I grew up and I went to school in classes of 40 kids, all in rows,
yeah.
facing the front, you know, and there was no Lord of the Flies conch there. You just, you know, he who spoke loudest got listened to, basically.
Yeah.
The squeaky wheel got the grease. So it's counterintuitive to me to let kids do what they want.
Well, again, for the little ones, I don't say let them do what they want. And that's the distinction between the unschooling model completely and what I'm offering. Because I believe the little ones actually need a lot of structure and guidance so they can thrive. So if you provide an environment like boundaries,
right, I was going to ask you about that,
then yeah. they can have freedom. And that's the basic of Montessori. They choose their work, but it's work time, so they have freedom to choose between this work or that work or that work.
But they have to do something.
And they have to do something.
You can't just lay on the couch and watch cartoons.
No, you can't watch cartoons, but you could lay on the couch and read a book.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
Or talk with a teddy bear, you know, or play with a puppet show. You could, it's a time for you to choose an activity that you feel interested and passionate about.
And is somebody watching to say, okay, this kid needs more, he's involved in some activity, but he needs to be more, say, let's say, productive in some way, or some kids won't. Some kids will just run around in circles until you stop them and say, it's time to read a book, sunshine.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm asking
you, right. And so I don't believe in timeouts for children like that. And I have activities like, for example, taking clothespins and putting them on the line is really good for the fingers, you know, to strengthen mm-hmm. the muscle of the fingers. Or we do yoga. Yoga is great for kids. It totally centers them. I mean, I work with special needs children, and the rhythm of the drum, the breathing work, the stretching of the body, it's, you know, different children need different things. They learn differently.
Right.
And so that's the challenge of a good teacher, is to find what is going to make that child thrive. What is his particular gift for the world, and how do you help nurture that?
And then later on, obviously, they have to enter the world, you know, and our world, unfortunately, is structured like a corporation. I mean, that most people wind up working, if you're very lucky, if you're an artisan or a writer or you sell herbs and, you know, whatever, that's very lucky. It's kind of unusual. There's a higher percentage in Laguna of those people than virtually anywhere else. So we can be fooled into thinking that the world is like this. But you only have to drive out to Irvine and see the skyscrapers to know that that's not how most people work for something, you know, LLC. And they have to function in that universe. So how do you make that, how do the kids make that transition?
Well, first of all, I look at it the other way around. I think the public education system was created to make good little workers for the corporation.
That's right, I agree.
And to babysit the parents while they went to work, mm-hmm. right? So the system created it so that it is like that. But if you change it from the child, and the child learns, you know, to believe in himself and is not stuffed with information that he won't even remember.
Yeah.
But instead, he uses his brain to grow with things that he's passionate and interested about. He will remember those things. And he won't be a follower. He'll be a leader. So this is about peaceful leadership. This is about creating leaders for the future, for the world, and not little sheeps following the system. You know, it's amazing to me that there's people that are brilliant, like Richard Branson, John Lennon, John Kennedy, Walt Disney, Leonardo da Vinci. They were labeled dyslexic in school and made to feel inadequate.
Yeah.
There's so many children in the system that are suffering. There's teenagers taking their own lives because the stress of the peer pressure, the stress of the homework, they don't feel capable. They feel stupid. They don't think they're going to make it in the system, in the world you're talking about.
And if you think about what it takes to, what people in that world anyway will tell you it takes to succeed, are not a knowledge of, I don't know, algebra. They are more to do with the things you're talking about, confidence and intelligence, and just being interested, really, in the world, you know, and not feeling depressed and stressed.
Yeah, I mean, one of the writers in the book, she teaches public speaking to children. She's in San Diego. She's amazing. And, you know, if you teach children confidence when they're young, they can do anything. They'll speak up if somebody's getting bullied.
Yeah.
They won't let it happen.
Yeah. Because they don't feel oppressed in that way.
Yeah, they'll be leaders in their schools, in their communities. Those people, they'll make it in the world. You don't have to worry about them.
Well, you are clearly very passionate about this.
Yes,
and you
I
speak
am.
Very intelligently about this.
Okay.
And you've blown me away, because I wasn't sure what you were going to talk about, Satiana. When a woman comes in here and she's changed her name to Satiana, I go, oh, my God, what's she doing? Tell me about that. What's
okay.
that?
All right.
How does an intelligent and seriously grounded, level-headed person change the name to Satiana?
Tell me
what's going on with you, woman.
All right. So what's going on is that after 14 years being married with who I thought was going to be the love of my life forever, we got divorced last year.
Yeah.
And it was really sad. You know, we lost our son. We didn't survive the loss.
No. Well,
like many couples
many
don't.
Yeah.
And so I was going back to my maiden name, first of all, right? Mm-hmm. I went from married name, so I had to change my name back. And then Christopher's gone, so I never had a middle name, and I wanted to take his name as my middle name. So now I have Chris as a middle name. Now, Satya came from 20-some years ago with Yogi Bhajan. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a Kundalini yoga.
Is that that guy, gonna get myself some picnic basket, boo-boo?
I don't think so.
No, that's Yogi Bear.
Yeah, so Yogi Bhajan is who brought Kundalini yoga to the West.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I was lucky enough to study with him in my 20s, and he gave me a spiritual name named Satya. Now, Satya means absolute truth. And there's a whole story behind this, but the bottom line is I didn't like my name. I went back in the line where he gave the name, and I lied. And I said, I don't remember the name. And somebody caught me and said, oh, I remember your name. It's Satya. It means absolute truth.
And it's lied. Great.
And I just lied.
Just lied, yeah.
And I felt so ashamed that for 20 years I was like, there's no way I'm going to wear that name. I just wasn't. And this year, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to embody truth in my life. I'm ready to speak up for what I believe. I'm ready for it. So I merged the name Satya with my birth name, Anna, to make Satyana. So it's Satyana Chris Lucan is my new name.
Good
and
for you.
That's the story.
And you become an American citizen, I believe.
Yes, and the great thing about that, so while I was looking to changing my name officially, it was going to cost like $700 or $800, right, to do that.
What, to become a citizen or to change your name?
No, to change the name.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So then, no,
how can they change
not
your
to change
your name.
How
can they charge you money to change your own name?
I know.
What's wrong with them?
So anyway, so I found out that, well, Marianne Williamson is somebody who's inspired me over the years many, many times. And she is running for Congress. And so this is the first time that I have even an interest or a desire to vote. And I realized I couldn't because I'm not a citizen. Yeah. So I looked into becoming a citizen. And I found out that if I become a citizen, the day of when they make you sign your name, you get to pick any name you want that you want to be called for the same price. So I get
it's about the same price. It's about $700 or $800
yes,
to become a
citizen. Same price. So I get two for one. By becoming a citizen.
Good for you.
And changing.
That's hilarious.
Thank you.
Nice one. Well, I became a citizen.
Yeah.
In order that I could bring the wife over.
Mm.
That was the reason I did it.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think it's, you know, if you're going to be part of the democratic process, you know, for what it's worth, it's the only chance we get to say, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down to various things in our lives. So I don't know. You know, what it's really worth, but I don't know. Anyway, that's
no, it did bother me that I couldn't vote in the past, but I had Eddie and I would ask him, you know, to vote like for us, like the things I was passionate about, and he would.
And now you have to
And
know,
now I am on my own, so I have to do it.
This has been a very nice conversation for me, Satyana.
Thank you
Respect
so much.
Respect is very much due to you.
Thank you.
On the anniversary of a death in the family, Jews say, I wish you a long life. Well, I wish you a very long life. And and good luck with the books. Now, wait a minute. Before you go, we better do the thing of the public. See, you're as bad as me with the marketing. We've got to tell people where they can get the book and how they can do that.
Okay, they can get the book for free today and until Saturday, actually. It's extended till Saturday. So from today till Saturday, they can go on Amazon and write IWE, Imagine Wisdom Education, book, and if they punch it, it's free. And it's a Kindle, but you don't need a Kindle. They'll give you a free reader. So
what does that mean, a free reader?
When you get the book, they give you a reader, so you can read it even if you don't have a Kindle.
You can read it on your computer. Online or on your iPad or whatever
exactly.
It is. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So that's Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Everybody knows about
Kindle, yeah.
And it's IWE?
Yes, it is, but it's okay.
Either way.
It shows up. And our Facebook page is Imagine Wisdom Education.
Okay.
IWE.
And is there a website too? No.
Yes, Imagine Wisdom Education-IWE.com.
Imagine Wisdom Education, based on some very strong spiritual principles plus some serious pedagogical research, which I'm totally blown away by. And good luck to you. Brilliant
Thank
stuff.
You. Thank you, Jason.
Satyana, anytime. Namaste. It's KX 93.5. We are Lagunas Only FM.
Oh, you're so funny.
Now you've got a good sense of humour.